Let's turn in God's Word to Genesis chapter 34. Genesis 34. And we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 31. Genesis 34, verse 1. These are the words of the living and true God. Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had borne to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. When Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and violated her. His soul was strongly attracted to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the young woman and spoke kindly to the young woman. So Shechem spoke to his father Hamor, saying, "Get me this young woman as a wife." And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his livestock in the field, so Jacob held his peace until they came. Then Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Jacob to speak with him. And the sons of Jacob came in from the field when they heard it, and the men were grieved and very angry because he had done a disgraceful thing in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, a thing which ought not to be done. But Hamor spoke with them, saying, "The soul of my son Shechem longs for your daughter. Please give her to him as a wife, and make marriages with us. Give your daughters to us, and take our daughters to yourselves. So you shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade in it, and acquire possessions for yourselves in it." Then Shechem said to her father and her brothers, "Let me find favor in your eyes, and whatever you say to me, I will give. Ask me ever so much dowry and gift, and I will give according to what you say to me, but give me the young woman as a wife." But the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor his father, and spoke deceitfully, because he had defiled Dinah their sister. And they said to them, "We cannot do this thing to give our sister to one who is uncircumcised, for that would be a reproach to us. But on this condition we will consent to you. If you will become as we are, if every male of you is circumcised, then we will give our daughters to you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. But if you will not heed us and be circumcised, then we will take our daughter and be gone." And their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. So the young man did not delay to do the thing, because he delighted in Jacob's daughter. He was more honorable than all the household of his father. And Hamor and Shechem, his son, came to the gate of their city and spoke with the men of their city, saying, "These men are at peace with us. Therefore let them dwell in the land and trade in it. For indeed the land is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us as wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only on this condition will men consent to dwell with us, to be one people. If every male among us is circumcised as they are circumcised, will not their livestock, their property, and every animal of theirs be ours? Only let us consent to them, and they will dwell with us." And all who went out of the gate of his city heeded Hamor and Shechem his son. Every male was circumcised, all who went out of the gate of his city. Now it came to pass on the third day, when they were in pain, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, each took his sword and came boldly up upon the city and killed all the males. And they killed Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah from Shechem's house and went out. And the sons of Jacob came upon the slain and plundered the city, because their sister had been defiled. They took their sheep, their oxen, and their donkeys, what was in the city, and what was in the field, and all their wealth, all their little ones, and their wives they took captive, and they plundered even all that was in the houses. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have troubled me by making me obnoxious among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And since I am few in number, they will gather themselves together against me and kill me. I shall be destroyed, my household and I." But they said, "Should he treat our sister like a harlot? Those are God's words. This lays, in this chapter, this lays out the beginning of the afflictions of Jacob and his children. We see first Leah's daughter, Dinah, is raped. And then through verse 19, the rapist and his father seeking to marry Dinah by an agreement with Jacob and his sons. And it seems Jacob hands the matter over to his sons, who show themselves more deceptive than the two ungodly Canaanites. As it says that they responded with, they spoke deceitfully, verse 13. Jacob hands, as he does give that over to his sons, and they're deceiving the two Canaanite men. The context here is that Jacob is the deceitful one, and he has, in the past, if we look back in the chapters before, he's the deceitful one, and he has taught his sons very well. And they're following in his way. And so no one here calls these two Canaanites to account. Notice that in the passage. Nobody calls them to account. They've raped Jacob's daughter. And we see them then talking about circumcision and being amongst us and being with each other. We see Jacob care more of his acceptance in the world. You see that at the end of the passage. More of his acceptance in the world than his own daughter and her well-being. He's lost all sight of the Lord. Lost all sight of God's promises to him. These Canaanites are nothing according to God's promises. But he's lost all sight of that. He'd rather join with unbelievers and be good in their sight than faithful in the Lord's sight. And so he cloaks the sons here, the Levi and Simeon and the other sons, they cloak their deceitfulness and worldliness, and they're requesting that the Canaanites be circumcised to enter into covenant with them. And yet those circumcised are those who, if we go back to Genesis 17, we learn that those who are circumcised, just like those who are baptized, are those who believe together with their household. These people don't believe, these Canaanites. But the two Canaanites agree to this because the son wants to be married to Dinah. And they're deceived by this. And Simeon and Levi, after the city and the two Canaanites, all these men have been circumcised, they're in pain. The two brothers killed all the males, and the two Canaanites are killed, and they took back Dinah. And praise the Lord, they took back Dinah. Not in the way they ought to have done it. It seems, though, wrong in murdering people. These two brothers are more convinced or more concerned with the morality of what happened, though, with their sister than even her father. Jacob's worried about himself and what people think of him. Jacob, verse 30, concerned more about the vanity of the world and what might happen to him, that he might die. But he's already lost sight of the promises. He's not going to die. Not in this way. So the Lord here leaves open from judgment in the text. There's no judgment that you see God condemn this or condemn that. You don't see that in the text because the sin is just laid out there for all of us to see it. And it's in everybody. In every part. And that's how easily it is for the vanity and the worldliness to come up in our lives, even as the children of God. And so as God's people today, we're called to the following from 1 John. He says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before Your presence as we do in worship, and now before Your throne, we come before the throne of grace to seek Your help in time of need. And we have sinned against You, and so we are in great need. because you are the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And we, like Isaiah, ought to believe our state before your presence is woe is me. And yet you are a merciful God. You have not struck us down yet. But you have given us of your Son. So Father, we come this morning to confess our sins. We have broken your commandments. We have put other gods before you. Even the gods that are so close to us, our family, our friends, our work. We've worshipped them. We've broken the second commandment. We've worshipped them and we lifted them up in our hearts greater than you. Father, forgive us of our sins. We've come here even this morning desiring to worship a certain way, and yet we're not worshiping that way. We're not worshiping according to our preferences, so we ask that you would forgive us of that, of thinking that we ought to worship according to what we believe we should, or how we should worship. Remembering that we are called to worship according to your commandments in spirit, with our hearts, and in truth according to your word. So it's not about our preferences at all. So Father, forgive us of our sins. Our sins of preference and worship. Father, help us in this third commandment. We have often taken lightly, don't really think about it all too often, taking your name in vain and how it affects, as we see in all of our life, there is a breaking of this commandment. There's a breaking of this commandment when we don't take up your word and meditate upon it day and night. We've not honored you and honored your word. And honored your name. We've joked around about the things of Scripture and you and Jesus, your Spirit, the church, your bride. And in that way, we've taken your name in vain. Father, forgive us of our sins. Even our words that we use, we often mince words or use euphemisms that are more palatable to our minds, even in taking your name in vain. And yet, it's still taking your name in vain. Father, forgive us of our sins. We've not even worked diligently 6 days to honor you and remember that you are the holy God, to worship you alone on this day, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week when Christ rose from the dead. Father, forgive us of our sins and not worshiping you. We ask that you would forgive even those who are not present with us this morning. We're not here because it's more convenient for them to not be here in their mind. Father, forgive them. Father, we've not honored our father and our mother. We've not honored our superiors. Nor have we honored our inferiors or our peers. Because we've not lived a godly life. We've not spoken the truth to them. We've not evangelized to our neighbor. Nor reminded our spouse or our children or our parents of the gospel promises. And so, Father, forgive us of that sin and of many sins. Father, we have murdered in our hearts. We've been angry and bitter and frustrated at others and not sought to reconcile with them. Father, forgive us of our sins. And we've lusted in our hearts after other people, coveted our neighbor's wife or husband in the 10th commandment, but also the 7th. We've lusted after the world and the things of the world, in which we know vanity of vanities, all is vanity. rather than looking and desiring all things in glory and above the sun. Father, forgive us of those sins. We've stolen from you. We've taken and wasted our time. We have stolen your word and not propounded it or taught it and conferred it to others. When we have the knowledge of the truth, we hoard it for ourselves instead of telling others. Father, forgive us of these sins. And even lying, gossiping, and slandering. Either telling the truth behind people's backs or telling lies behind people's backs. And telling the truth behind people's backs even to their hurt. Father, forgive us of these sins. And then coveting the things of the world. The things that we don't have and don't need. And yet desiring them all the more as we desire, have those desires under the sun. Father, forgive us of these sins. And Father, we know that you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness in Christ your Son. If we say we have no sin, we are a liar. And the truth is not in us. Father, help us and turn us in our hearts, our minds, our wills, our affections to Christ your Son who died on the cross, crucified. Our sin placed upon him. He died the sinner's death, condemned for us. To cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And thankfully now, as those who are his, those who have come to him by faith and trusted him and bowed the knee to him, your blood was poured out for our sins. And you have cleansed us and granted to us your righteousness. We pray that you would build us up in the faith. You would grow us today, strengthen us in faith for your glory alone. Father, often there comes as we praise you that you are growing us, often there comes division in the body. As Satan attacks and tempts us to division, because he hates when we are one together. And so, Father, we pray that you will grant to us unity in the truth and peace amongst us. And Father, we ask that you would grant to your people a love for one another, receiving of one another, not despising or judging one another. As we've learned, and if it's all possible, that we'd seek peace with all men. Father, watch over us today. Keep us from error and keep pointing us to your Son who died there on the cross, who was buried and then on the third day rose from the dead according to the Scriptures, who now sits enthroned in glory forever and ever, who is our Mediator King, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and God of Gods and Ruler of Rulers, as your Word says. May He be exalted. And by your Spirit working in us, help us to exalt Him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.